Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter,
There you go.
Okay. Am I on? Yeah. Okay. So the rest of the ministry team today, soundboard is going to be Marshall Wetzel. I feel like I'm introducing a rock group. And then to help the team out, the rest of the team will be the musical talents and the voices of Brad and Helen DeTerry. We'll also have the family music later today, and we'll enjoy their talents as we move on. So hopefully we can provide you with a wonderful experience today and a time of worship. So today's radio sponsorship is by Lori Parker, in memory of her father, Walter Klaus, who passed away in 1998, and her sister, Annette Pickett, who passed away in 2018. So today, until we can safely gather in person, we'll be continuing broadcasting as we have for these last 82 years on 1380 WPHM and simulcast at 8:30 a.m. After Mondays, we can worship on podcast at WPHMnet. Remember, it's .net, N-E-T. And the days and the times and the months. This is the flexibility we'll need until we can all gather again. So let's begin today's service. Conflict is part of the relationship and life and community of Jesus' words. In today's Gospels, are often used in situations having to do with church discipline. The prophet Ezekiel tells of warning the wicked to turn from their ways, and Paul reminds us that the love is the fulfilling of the law. We gather in the name of Christ, assured that he is present among us with the gifts of peace and reconciliation. We're going to have the gathering hymn. It's been done by the DeTerry family. It's the musical score from Higher by the group Unspoken. I just heard the words for the first time. This is just instrumental, but if you have a chance to look it up, it's a very uplifting song, especially in these days where there's so much negative and so much discontent in the world. Thank you. Carey family and their musical talent. Now, they're both laughing at me right now and giving me these big grimaces because apparently they found something in the music that was a little odd, but to me, it sounded just fine. Just so you know, and I want to give everybody credit, you heard Brad on guitar, you heard Helen on the drums. No? Denver on guitar. Oh, okay.
Denver
was on the drums. Okay.
Mom set this one up.
Oh, okay. Usually Helen plays the drums. So Denver was on the drums. Jack was on the piano. Denver was also on the horn. And Brad was on the guitar. So I am very jealous of your musical talent.
Oh, no.
Now that got them blushing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's go on to our confessions. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us all of creation.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and one another. Faithful God,
have mercy on us.
We confess
that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We turn from our loving embrace and go our own ways. We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We keep your gifts of salvation to ourselves. Make us humble, cast away our transgressions, and turn us again to live in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God hears the cries of all who call out in need. And through his death and his resurrection, Christ has made us his own. Hear the truth that God proclaims. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Led by the Holy Spirit, live in freedom and newness to do God's work in the world.
Amen. Amen.
And then we'll have our hymn of praise. It's a group called Selah. Pastor has corrected me on that name. The song is One Thing I Know. And listen to the words of this song, especially in this day and age. I think you'll find it very uplifting that we can always turn to Christ no matter what our situation is.
Reminds me of what used to be, when I was still uncertain of the truth. Sleepless nights that turn to days, alone inside an endless space, counting on someone to see me through. And if there's one thing I pray, it's Jesus helps you find a way to make a change and listen to your heart. God will take away your pain if you choose to let it go. If there's one thing I find you in the dark, and only he can make your blind eyes see. For if we speak of lost things found, or lies that have been turned around, then tell me who knows better, child, than me. If there's one thing to your heart, oh, God will take away your pain if you choose to let it go. If there's one thing I know, I would never stake my life on any lesser thing than the cross of Christ, where he gave his life to ease my suffering. If there's one thing I know, you were never left alone, 'cause you can always call on Jesus' name. And if there's one thing I pray, it's Jesus helps you find a way to make a change and listen to your heart. Choose to let it go. If there's one thing I know.
And the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And Helen's going to lead us in the prayer of the day today.
O Lord God, enliven and preserve your church with your perpetual mercy. Without your help, Lord, we mortals will fail. Remove far from us everything that is harmful, and lead us toward all that gives life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And then the first reading will be from Brad.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. The first reading is from Ezekiel 33, verses 7 through 11. So God appointed Ezekiel as a sentinel for the house of Israel. Ezekiel must faithfully convey God's warnings to the people. Remarkably, God, who is about to attack Jerusalem, gives a warning with the hope that repentance will make the attack unnecessary. Here begins the reading. So you, mortal, I have made a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked ones, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from their ways, and they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Now you, mortal, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, our transgressions and our sins weigh upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Helen's going to lead us into Psalms, and the antiphon for today's Psalms is, I desire the path of your commandment.
And here is the Psalm of today, Psalm 119. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end.
Give me understanding, and I shall keep your teaching. I shall keep it with all my heart.
Lead me in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire.
Incline my heart to your decrees, and not to unjust gain. I desire the path of your commandments.
Turn my eyes from beholding falsehood. Give me life in your way.
Fulfill your promise to your servant, which is for those who fear you.
Turn away the reproach that I dread, because your judgments are good.
Behold, I long for your commandments. By your righteousness, enliven me. I desire the path of your commandments.
And Brad will lead us in the second reading.
Second reading is from Romans 13, verses 8 through 14. The obligation of Christians is to love one another and so fulfill the heart and goal of the law. Clothes make the person as we put on the Lord Jesus Christ and live today in light of the future God has in store for us. Here begins the reading. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
And Marshall will lead us in today's gospel. Glory to you, O Lord.
Today's gospel comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In the words of the Apostle Paul, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome during this season after Pentecost. Typically, I prepare my sermons in conjunction with the readings and the gospel lesson for the day. Today, I hope you'll indulge me on this Sunday morning. Since it is Labor Day weekend, I would like to offer up a sermon that speaks to this particular holiday weekend. Labor Day makes for a great weekend. It's a chance for American families and individuals to celebrate the working men and women who built our great country and keep it running. Now, the origins of Labor Day are a little bit foggy. From what I can tell, there are two labor leaders that are credited for the original creation, but it's not really agreed upon which one is actually the originator. But it did begin as a local celebration that spread to the various communities and then to the states. Eventually, it was signed into federal law by President Grover Cleveland in 1894, designating the first Monday in September as the celebration of the American worker. So what significance does Labor Day have to us today? It is a day off from work, making for a very long weekend where people and family and friends can gather, they can barbecue, they travel, they camp. In short, a time of relaxation, camaraderie, and rest. Now here's something that all Christians know. Labor Day is not a new concept. We know that a day was dedicated to our rest and our recovery, worship and praise, and it goes back to the very creation of the world. We know that in Genesis, God created the world and everything in it in 6 days. On the seventh day, he looked over his creation and he rested. Now, God did not keep this time of rest to himself. We remember as God presented Moses the Ten Commandments, that he felt that this time of rest was so necessary that he made it the third commandment, or fourth, depending on your flavor of Christian worship. In Exodus 20, verse 8, he commanded, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male, your female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For 6 days the Lord has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in it. But he rested on the seventh. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it." Now, whether the Sabbath commandment is the third or the fourth commandment is really of no consequence. All the same details are contained within the four corners of the document, as a lawyer would say, of the Ten Commandments. It's just a matter of how you choose to group them. Now, the Sabbath day has a really interesting place in my life. For those who know me, know that my wife of 38 years is a Seventh-day Adventist, and I'm a lifelong Lutheran. Now to explain, I'm going to start off with the Seventh-day Adventists are not a cult, as some people will misrepresent them. I've had a lifetime of communing with them. They are a Bible-believing Christian organization, and what I can tell, they're very closely related to the Reform-era churches. Now, what makes them unique, at least in today's culture, is they take a very strict understanding of Scripture. As such, they hold that the Sabbath starts from sundown on Friday night and ends on sundown Saturday night. They will not work on the Sabbath. They worship, they celebrate, they rest, and they fellowship. When discussing the Sabbath, it opens up a host of opinions, debates, studies and theories, and so on. And over the years, I've engaged in numerous discussions on the Sabbath and the Lutheran perspective. Now, if I'm going to be totally honest, until recently, I've not really taken a very deep look into the subject. So when I decided to look into it, the first step, of course, is the Bible. So I went to the Old Testament scriptures of Moses and the Ten Commandments, which I was just read to you. Then I went to the New Testament. I was looking for something a little more historically contemporary in its explanation. And what I found there was a passage from the book of Mark in the second chapter, starting with verse 23. In this passage, Jesus and the disciples are walking through a grain field on the Sabbath. As they're walking through this field, they're picking off the tips of grain and they're eating them. And Jesus is confronted by a Pharisee, challenging them. Jesus is asked, "Why are you doing labor on the Sabbath?" And Jesus has to remind the Pharisee. Reminds him when David took the food from the house of God to feed the hungry. Further, Jesus goes on to explain that the Sabbath was made for man and not the man for Sabbath. So, in the way I see that, the Sabbath should never be a burden to mankind, but it's a gift to be cherished and appreciated. So, wanting to look deeper and being a good Lutheran, looking for answers beyond the Bible, I turned to Martin Luther. And again, the obvious starting point there is the Small Catechism. The Small Catechism, Luther states, the third commandment is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. What does this mean? Hopefully my confirmation students remember this. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching or God's word, but instead keep that word holy and gladly hear it and learn it. Well, I thought this a pretty simple explanation. I was seeking more. So the next logical step, at least for me as a Lutheran, was to go to the large catechism. Now here Luther makes a much more detailed explanation of the Sabbath, and it's really much too long and in-depth to read here, so I'll paraphrase it as best I understand it. And Luther gives a three-part explanation. In it, he states that the Old Testament law was presented to the Jews and not necessarily a requirement of Christians. And two, the rest and recuperation are required of the common man, but not day specific. And three, the Sabbath is not limited to a single day, but man must set time aside for worship and praise. And since Sunday has been set aside as the Lord's Day, then that should continue. Now, whether you agree with my assessment or not, this is just food for thought. So then I wanted to look into the origin of the Sabbath day, and how did the Sabbath day and Sunday become our worship days? Now, from what I'm able to find, it generally seems that the early Christian church chose Sunday as the Lord's Day to recognize the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, from what I can tell, that did not necessarily declare Sunday as the new Sabbath. It is widely believed that the Emperor Constantine is credited with as being the early leader to cite Sunday as the new Sabbath in 321 CE. Now, also from my rudimentary research, many of the Reformed-based Christian doctrines have never actually declared Sunday as the new Sabbath, including the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, but still recognize that the seventh day, Saturday, is the Sabbath, and that Sunday is the Lord's Day. Now, when discussing the Sabbath day, it can quickly turn into a deeply passionate discussion, argument, or debate. I worry for a person new to Christian faith who ventures out to research this topic and attempts to find an answer for themselves. There are numerous explanations, theories, and opinions. And to be quite honest, many of them from all sides are very compelling with various supporting scriptures and well-known scholars. Personally, one of my soapbox themes is that we as Christians seem to get too tied up into the legalisms and doctrines of a particular religion and forget the basic Christian teachings, especially the greatest commandment given to us by Christ, is to love one another just as he loves us. Now, the purpose of this morning's sermon is not to spend a lot of time discussing or arguing what the Sabbath day is, but about its place in our lives. Now, I see the Sabbath as a gift given to us as God's beloved children. Now, the question is, what are we doing with this gift? When looking at a gift, I first wanted to look at the gift giver. And I wonder myself, what does God think or feel about the way we treat his gift? When talking about gifts in mind, instantly I'm taken to Christmas as a child. Now, my mother and father were nefarious pranksters, and it's a characteristic that I didn't really appreciate until I became an adult and had children of my own. Now, my brother and I loved Christmas. To be honest, we were pretty spoiled. As Christmas approached, we would start sneaking around the house. We're looking for presents. We're looking for clues about our gifts. Usually about a week before Christmas, my parents would put out one package under the tree. That package was to keep us occupied or tormented, depending on your point of view. Now, normally it'd be at least one good-sized package. And if you picked it up, it had a little heft to it. And if you shaked it, it would rattle. So that caused us this great anticipation and allowing that excitement to build to an unbearable crescendo. And on Christmas morning, causing us to wake Mom and Dad up at some unreasonable hour to open our gifts. Now, we would sit there nearly unable to contain ourselves, having to wait for them to get their coffee first. Finally, the moment of truth was upon us, and we were released to attack the presents. Our first choice was the gift we'd been watching, touching, shaking, guessing for the last week. And like a couple of ravenous animals, we would tear into the paper, and as soon as we'd open the box, and we'd finally discover our prize, and we would find a package of underwear, or with a can with some coins in it, or a pillow with a brick in the box. Now, I can only imagine the look on our faces, as I'm sure Mom and Dad were just loving it. While this was a pre-planned event and a great entertainment, at least to my mother and father, this made me start to think of these moments when I did take the time to pick out a gift for someone that I thought that the person receiving would just cherish, only experience that awkward moment when they open it and you instantly realize that the look on their face is that your gift was not appreciated and missed the mark. At that moment, the recipient is trying to feign happiness or excitement, but it's just bad acting and the crushing feeling of the giver knowing that they came up short and failed. It makes me wonder how God must feel when we have been given this incredible gift of the Sabbath and we refuse to acknowledge it. It is like we threw it in the back of our closet and never looked at it again. When I take the time and I think of the gift, I become very humbled. I realize he is giving us something that he once gave himself after the completion of his creative work. Now, I want to go on record here. As far as taking advantage of the gifts of the Sabbath, I am as much a hypocrite as anyone else, and maybe more so because I do realize the gift given to me. So in discussing Sabbath, I'd like to set aside all the legalisms and arguments for which day is the true Sabbath and just take in what has been to us and what we may be missing out by failing to accept our gift. I see the Sabbath as much more than a day. Relaxation is much more of a gift of the heart and a state of mind. As Luther suggested, and I'm not sure I agree with his assertion that Christians are not bound by the commandment as it was given to the Jews, but in my opinion, I see the Sabbath in two different types. I see it as an intentional and an incidental. When I look at the Sabbath and what it means, for first and foremost is a chance to rest. God, who made us, knows that this human machine he created requires care and maintenance, as well as rest and recuperation. Now, here in the U.S., we have added on to that gift in the creation of a five-day work week, allowing 2 days off every 5 days of labor. This is not the norm in other countries. But what are we doing with those 2 days off? Do we take the time to praise our Creator? Do we take time to talk with Him, praise Him? Do we worship and gather as part of our human family? Do we take the time to find a quiet space and time where we can express our love, our worries, and our concerns? Do we spend any time in the book given to us by God? Or are we just two-hour-a-week Christians who come to church once a week, get our faith batteries recharged in hopes that it will hold us over till the next Sunday? To truly take in and appreciate the Sabbath, it must be an intentional act. I've seen this in my Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters repeatedly. It is a whole day of worship, praise, and fellowship. It's not a burden because that's the priority in their lives over the day-to-day expectations of the world has over us. Now, the other Sabbath I've seen happens to us any day and every day, and it can be at any time and any place. But do we recognize the incidental Sabbath? Those are those smaller moments when we can spend time with our Lord, only to let them pass without any acknowledgement. Now, what do I mean by this? There are those moments of peace and quiet, or even those chaotic moments where we can reach out to our Father. One of my favorite incidental Sabbaths is when I'm driving by myself or riding my motorcycle. I have some of the best conversations with Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Then there are those moments when I cry out for help because I just feel so lost and scared. But once we identify these incidental Sabbath moments, then we need to make them intentional. To truly appreciate and receive the Sabbath, it has to be an intentional act. So once you've identified them, you can make use of that gift more and more often. Now, I think the lesson I have learned through my superficial research, as well as my life experiences, is that we must make an effort to seek out the Sabbath. This is found through prayer and immersion in the Scripture. The Sabbath you find may not be the same as your neighbor's. I challenge you not to criticize, but to discuss, because discussion prompts critical thinking. Take this wonderful gift given to us. Take it out of the box. Play with it. Appreciate it. Cherish it. Then watch your relationship, your attitudes, and your peace bring you closer to one another, and especially to our Father, Son, and our Holy Spirit. Now may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus. that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And we will go today's hymn of the day is He is Alive.
The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches, and the sounds of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. So we both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone, an empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just empty. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, and then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I didn't. From the room, and Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. He's alive, he's alive, oh
Please now join me in the affirmation of our common faith in the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And Helen will take us into the prayers for today.
Drawn together in the compassion of God, we pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Unite your church, O God. Grant us the gifts of repentance and reconciliation. Bless the cooperative work of churches in this community, especially our Savior Lutheran Church. Strengthen ecumenical partnerships. Guide the work of the Lutheran World Federation and the World Council Churches. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Protect your creation, O God. Teach us ways that do not harm what you have entrusted to our care. Renew and enliven places suffering from drought, flood, storms, and pollution. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Turn nations and leaders from ways that lead to death. Shape new paths towards peace and cooperation, teaching us to recognize one another as neighbors. Guide legislatures, civil servants, judges, and police towards laws that protect the well-being of all. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Tend to all in need of your compassion. Hear the cries of those awaiting justice and those yearning for forgiveness. Give community to the lonely and neighbors to the outcast. Shelter all who are vulnerable in body, mind, or spirit. Especially this day, Lord, we pray for Joe Coulthard, Donna Taylor, Ray Shinosky, family friend of Ken Perry, Norm McLeod, Ken Perry's mother, Lord, Gertrude, who's healing at home from a hip fracture, Mary Balderston. And Lord, this day we ask that you bless the wedding of Faith Dorsbacher and Mike Smith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for each new day that you give. As we recognize Labor Day, we pray for all essential workers, for our economy, and any facing unemployment. We pray for an end to the coronavirus pandemic. And as a new school year begins, we pray for the safety and well-being of all students, educators, and parents. Dear Lord, we also ask that you place a hedge of protection around all children from early ages through the college years. We ask this day for domestic tranquility to exist in each and every home. Where there is civil unrest and violence, Lord, we pray for your peace. Ignite creativity, innovation, and use technology to work towards solutions and solve problems and work towards the greater good for this world. Restore emotional, mental health, and well-being to all those in need. Replace our fears, Lord, with strong faith. Reveal yourself to those who long to hear from you. Remind us that you sent your Son to save this world and not to condemn it. Lead your children from darkness of sin into the light and the truth of your living word. So may we look forward to the future with hopeful eyes and joy-filled hearts, and we pray this day to end divisions of any kind with your unifying love. May we find the blessings through various trials and implement your word as a light onto our paths. Let us always love our neighbors as we love ourselves, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We remember with thanksgiving those who have died in faith, and as you have equipped them, equip us with your protection and power until then we see your salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust in your mercy through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now if you'd join me in the prayer given to us by Christ. Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Pastor Don for entrusting us with the service for today. I feel like my dad just gave me the keys to the car after getting my driver's license, said, make sure you bring it back in the same condition that you got it. I can't guarantee that, but we took it out for a ride. So today is just, it's turning out to be a beautiful day. I'm looking at the sun coming through the Ascension window, lighting up Christ, and I'm hoping that Faith and Mike get to enjoy this weather. And Mike, we will pray for you. So today's ministry, as I said, has been sponsored by Lloyd Parker. Lawn Care Today is in memory of Walter Klass, again by Lori Parker. And you heard the prayers given for those in need. Also, I want to bring up the fact that the church still needs tithes. I always get accused that people don't want me talking about money, but I ain't scared. So this building is still functioning. It's still a church. We're still a congregation. We still have ministries that we have to support. Right now, our weekly need is about $3,752, but our income from tithing is at about $1,850. So if you would like to continue to tithe, pray about it. And then there are multiple ways that you can continue to do that. You can do it through bank transfer. You can mail a check into the church. We don't have the ability to accept credit cards at this time, but please keep that in mind. And then as we go through this church year, we are going to continue with the radio services until we get closer and closer to the end of this COVID crisis and we get some direction from the National Synod. So I think you'll hear this team come back in the future. Hopefully we can get some special guest stars in here. And if you're listening, Jack in Denver, I'm talking to you. I want to get you here one morning. I'll come up and pick you up. I'll even get you coffee and breakfast if I need to. So other than that, we're having a great time today. Hopefully we are fulfilling your spiritual need. And if there's anything we can do better, feel free to let me know. So what we're going to do today is we would normally collect the offering at this point, but we're going to offer the offering hymn with Great Is My Faithfulness from Four for the Master.
God, my Father, thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses
acknowledge the group Rejoice that did Shout for the Lord. So I apologize for doing that. And another hit from the Duterte family is their version of the doxology. I'm really excited about this one.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. From whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly.
Prayer.
Certainly. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. You have set before us these gifts of your good creation. Prepare us for your heavenly banquet. Nourish us with this rich food and drink, and send us forth to set tables in the midst of a suffering world. Through the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Mother and God, Father and Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless you and lead you into the way of truth and life.
Amen.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.
Today's postlude is going to be Everything's All Right from the musical Jesus Christ Superstar. It's a very appropriate song for today.
Try not to get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you all. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine, and we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget about us tonight.
Sleeping,
I shall soothe you, calm you, and anoint you, my Lord.